This morning, we have a guest preacher, Mr. Aaron Schultz, who is a seminarian in his fourth year at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the sixth chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
The popularity of Jesus grew. Some said that he was John the Baptist who had come back from the grave. And this thought disturbed Herod, since John had rightly accused Herod of adultery. This accusation especially bothered Herodias, the woman with whom Herod was committing this sin. After provocative dance by Herodias' daughter, Herod promised the dancer anything she wanted. The head of John the Baptist on a platter is what she said. From today's gospel lesson, we see that sin runs rampant, which is why the law must be proclaimed. But there is deliverance for those who confess that they are sinners and hold to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law on our behalf. Sin runs rampant, and this account by St. Mark demonstrates that. By this account, we see Herod to be a most disgusting and vile of men. First, there's the adultery of Herod, which John the Baptist rightly preached against, and it was for this preaching of the law that John was imprisoned. One seldom goes to jail for the preaching of the gospel. Unbelievers can usually tolerate the preaching of the gospel, but it is the preaching of the law that puts one in chains. The law accuses and condemns, and it can rub people the wrong way. Consequently, for the sake of Herodias, Herod puts John in the cellar. Then we have the party. Herodias' daughter dances seductively, and Herod is infatuated with his new wife's daughter. What could she, Herodias' daughter, have learned from an adulteress but the loss of modesty? Herodias is beyond irked that John would call attention to her sin. She is put off by the law and its proclaimer, and so she bears a grudge against them both. The law accuses, and it makes people feel uneasy, and rightfully so. It's not comfortable when the law points out our sin. It should make us feel uneasy so that we fall to our knees and repent. But those who try to deny the law will do all they can to mute its accusations. Quite often, to try and avoid discomfort, people will turn away, or they will close their eyes to the law, or altogether they will try to silence the law, as Herodias does. When the law is denied, grudges are born and nursed, and a wicked web of sin is spun. "I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter," said the dancer. The tetrarch was caught in his words. He can't go back on his oath, not in front of the guests. To Herod, his own honor is more important than the life of a man whom Herod knew to be righteous and holy. So Herod gives the order, and the executioner is sent. Herod then becomes guilty of homicide. The last of the great prophets is sacrificed for some careless words, a careless oath. And we have brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan who have followed the baptizer in being martyred for their Christian faith. Even today, those who trust in the Savior face death for their faith, but are sustained in persecution and death by Christ our Lord. And Herodias, she exults in the death of John. She has slain her judge and believes that she has escaped her crime. But neither Herod nor Herodias can mute the law or outrun, outmaneuver true justice. The law finds us all. But we have Christ. He came to fulfill the law and did so on the cross when he uttered the words, "It is finished." But the law does not become obsolete at the cross. It still has a purpose, and it still points out our sin. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. The law is still applicable to today. We can close our eyes to it and pretend that it's not there and allow grudges to fester, or we can submit to it. With sin being so rife and rampant, the law needs to be proclaimed. Sin needs to be pointed out and denounced, and even if it's uneasy to do so. John knew full well what the consequences could have been by pointing out Herod's sin. He knew that his message of condemnation would not make him the most popular guy on campus. Far from it. Yet he also knew that it had to be done, and he was willing to take on the cost, even if that meant his own death. Christians do have a duty to chastise, to rebuke sin. Parents, do not spare the rod. More than a buddy, your child needs a father, one who is disciplined and who disciplines. Gentle, loving, yet gritty mothers are needed. Mothers who expect their children to sit up straight and talk with proper respect. Perhaps also there's someone in your life who needs to be told that he is living in sin. Do it. Don't let him continue in sin. Indeed, it's not easy to tell him, but it needs to be done. It more than likely will not gain you popularity with the people. In fact, you most probably will be mocked for it and shunned for it. But do it anyways. We don't tell a person he's living in sin from an inner righteous pride. Instead, we do it out of love for our neighbor, so that that person may walk in the newness of life. Herod was an adulterer and a murderer. There is another example in the Bible of one who had committed the very same crimes. However, this man's response to the law is in stark contrast to that of Herod. When David was rebuked by the prophet Nathan for his crime of adultery and murder, David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And this should be our response always to the law's accusations. I have sinned against the Lord. Uttering these words means the difference between life and death. We acknowledge our sinfulness, we admit our wrongdoing, our wretchedness, and we confess that we have utterly fallen short of the glory of God. We fully admit these things, as David did. But then we also point to Christ. We say that he has borne the weight of our sin, that he was nailed to the tree on our account, that our debt has been fully paid by his blood. And these two truths must be constantly proclaimed in our lives. I am a sinner, but I have Christ. From today's introit, we boldly say that we have been washed with the blood of the Lamb, and that in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Thanks be to God for John the Baptist. There were those who tried to silence John, and there are those who still try to silence him today. But they have failed. Even today, we still hear him speak. His words ever resound. John continues to refute Herod and those like him. He proclaimed the law, but he also proclaimed Christ. And we hear his proclamation on Sundays at the Lord's Supper in the Agnus Dei. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It was John, the last of the Old Testament prophets, the herald of the New Testament, the likes of whom, after Christ, we will never see again. It is John who prefigures the internment of Jesus. May we hold both to the law and to the gospel. May we confess that we are sinners, but also confidently confess that we have Christ, who was made a propitiation for our sins. And may we remember John the Baptist, his boldness, and his confession of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.